Irene, Patty, and Jennifer, Ken, and Jessica, thank you for the honor of being able to say a few words about a great man who befriended me throughout my whole career. Danny Inouye, as I was listening to others speak, I thought about how the fact that every high point and low point in my career since I announced for the Senate as a 29-year-old kid, your husband, your father, your brother was there for me. From running an impossible race and him coming to Delaware to being there when I didn't want to come to the Senate, to actually knocking on my door and saying, if you're going to run for president, could I be your national chairman? And the impact he has had on not just me, but my family, Jill, and particularly my two boys. Danny's departure marks the end of an era. A generation of men and women referred to as the greatest generation, who literally transformed America and helped reshape the world. And in my view, among them, Danny may have been the most unique, the most whole. Robert Ingersoll could have been talking about Danny Inouye when he said, when the will defies fear, when duty throws the gauntlet down to fate, when honor scorns to compromise with death, that is heroism. Danny was a heroic figure in every aspect of his life. As so many have referenced today and all that's been written about Danny since he passed, this is a man who had to overcome prejudice against Japanese Americans just for the right to fight for the country that he loved. And in the process of doing that, he showed such extraordinary valor and heroism that he was awarded the Medal of Honor. But I'm here to tell you that I think his physical courage was matched by his moral courage. I don't know anybody else that I can say that of in my personal acquaintance. His physical courage was matched by his moral courage. Danny demonstrated that neither prejudice at home nor enemy bullets abroad could keep him from accomplishing his goal, which was always about defending his country, but even more importantly, about making his country a better place. Always a better place. He tackled one of the most vexing problems at home, and the reference that was made by me yesterday in the rotunda and made here again today, as a young kid in law school listening to Danny's speech at the Democratic National Convention. Seemed like it was the only voice of reason that broke through this god-awful cloud. And he stood there with such absolute confidence and certitude in the midst of all that was going on, like what he had to say was just self-evident. How could anybody doubt what he said? He was, in my 36 years in the Senate, more trusted by his colleagues than any man or woman I ever served with. I remember when the church committee decided that the intelligence committee was out of control and we needed an intelligence committee. I remember being part of, as a young kid, because Mike Mansfield just brought me in to keep me engaged. I remember the discussion was, well, who would head this new committee? And it was, there was no discussion. It wasn't like maybe we'll have so-and-so or so-and-so. It was Danny and Owe. No discussion, to the best of my recollection. Virtually none. When it came time to deal with Watergate, there was that inestimable combination of Danny and Owe, Sam Ervin and Howard Baker. The only person for whom there was no discussion was Danny and Owe. The same with Iran-Contra. And why? Why was it so self-evident to every member of the Senate? This should be Danny and Owe. One thing. His moral courage. His physical courage reinforced it, but that wasn't the reason. No one ever doubted that Danny and Owe had such integrity at his core that he would meet any obligation thrust upon him with absolute steadiness and objectivity. I cannot say that about anyone else, and I've served with great women and men, some of whom are here in this magnificent cathedral today. It was one of the great honors of my lifetime that I got to the Senate young enough and early enough that I could serve with those so-called legends of the Senate, a significant portion of whom are still there. But even among those women and men, they all knew. They all knew. Danny and Owe possessed that intangible thing that every leader longs to possess. That is that he would never waver from what he thought was right. Pretty astounding. It was my privilege just to observe and in some small way occasionally participate over the 36 years I served next to Danny. But Danny's power and influence ultimately lay in his character. As I said, he earned what every man and woman who's ever served in Congress has longed for, the uncompromising respect, and admiration of his colleagues. I say to all my colleagues assembled here, can you think of anyone who ever questioned Danny and Owe's integrity? Even in the midst of the bitterness that has enveloped the Congress over the last several years. But the interesting thing was, there were men who were respected, had great integrity, like Mike Mansfield and others. But I know no one who was both as respected and loved as much as Danny and Owe. Love is a word people throw around very easily these days. When people talked about loving Danny, they meant it in the way the average American thinks of love. I doubt whether there's anyone here who served with him, if Danny and Owe, a week before he passed away, called you and said, can you do the following for me? I doubt there's a single man or woman here who wouldn't have said, of course, Danny, I will. My mom used to have an expression. She'd say that what is required to have great character is you have to, she used to use the phrase, said, Joey, you're defined by your courage and redeemed by your loyalty. You're defined by your courage and redeemed by your loyalty. No person I've ever served with or knew since I arrived here had more physical and moral courage or ever exceeded Danny in his loyalty to those who he respected beyond his family. This may seem like a strange thing to say in this great cathedral, but with the exception of my father, and there are great men and women in this chamber right now, with the exception of my father, there are few people I've ever looked at and said, I wish I could be more like that man. He's a better man than I am. That's how I looked at Danny, and I told him so. In his characteristic way, he told me my judgment was flawed. But the truth of the matter is, there is no one that I ever met. I think the highest compliment a man or woman can give to another man or woman is to look at them and say, to their children, to their own children, you see that man, you see that woman, there's not a single character trait they have that I do not wish for you. Over 35 years ago, I told that to my sons, and I meant it then, and I mean it now. I guess that's why my sons call me immediately, separately from different parts of the world, on hearing of Danny's passing. They knew him, and most importantly to them, they knew that he knew them. Think of that, how important it is to them to be able to say, not just I knew Danny Inouye, he knew me. It's one of the treasures of their life, that Danny Inouye knew me. It mattered then, it matters now. His passing marks the end of an era, the loss of one of the greatest leaders of the greatest generation, and a man who everyone in this cathedral will miss, and a man who taught every one of us in this cathedral something about ourselves we probably didn't know before we met him.
A reading from Revelation. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. To Irene, Ken, Jennifer, Danny's friends and former colleagues, it is an extraordinary honor to be with you in this magnificent place to pay tribute to a man who'd probably be wondering what all the fuss is about. This Tuesday was, in many ways, a day like any other. The sun rose, the sun set. The great work of our democracy carried on. But in a fundamental sense, it was different. It was the first day in many of our lives, certainly my own, that the halls of the United States Congress were not graced by the presence of Daniel Ken Inouye. Danny was elected to the U.S. Senate when I was 2 years old. He had been elected to Congress a couple of years before I was born. He would remain my senator until I left Hawaii for college. Now, even though my mother and grandparents took great pride that they had voted for him, I confess that I wasn't paying much attention to the United States Senate at the age of 4 or 5 or 6. It wasn't until I was 11 years old that I recall even learning what a U.S. senator was, or it registering at least. It was during my summer vacation with my family, my first trip to what those of us in Hawaii call the mainland. So we flew over the ocean, and with my mother and my grandmother and my sister, who at the time was 2, we traveled around the country. It's a big trip. We went to Seattle, and we went to Disneyland, which was most important. We traveled to Kansas, where my grandmother's family was from, and went to Chicago and went to Yellowstone. And we took Greyhound buses most of the time, and we rented cars, and we'd stay at local motels or Howard Johnson's. And if there was a pool at one of these motels, even if it was just tiny, I would be very excited. And the ice machine was exciting, and the vending machine, I was really excited about that. But this is at a time when you didn't have 600 stations and 24 hours worth of cartoons. And so at night, if the TV was on, it was what your parents decided to watch. And my mother, that summer, would turn on the TV every night during this vacation and watch the Watergate hearings. And I can't say that I understood everything that was being discussed, but I knew the issues were important. I knew they spoke to some basic way about who we were and who we might be as Americans. And so slowly, during the course of this trip, which lasted about a month, some of this seeped into my head, and the person who fascinated me most was this man of Japanese descent, with one arm, speaking in this courtly baritone, full of dignity and grace. And maybe he captivated my attention because my mom explained that this was our senator, and that he was upholding what our government was all about. Maybe it was a boyhood fascination with the story of how he'd lost his arm in war. But I think it was more than that. Now, here I was, a young boy with a white mom, a black father, raised in Indonesia and Hawaii, And I was beginning to sense how fitting in to the world might not be as simple as it might seem. And so to see this man, this senator, this powerful, accomplished person who was not a central casting when it came to what you'd think a senator might look like at the time. And the way he commanded the respect of an entire nation, I think it hinted to me what might be possible in my own life. This was a man who, as a teenager, stepped up to serve his country even after his fellow Japanese Americans were declared enemy aliens. A man who believed in America even when its government didn't necessarily believe in him. That meant something to me. It gave me a powerful sense, one that I couldn't put into words, a powerful sense of hope. And as I watched those hearings, listening to Danny ask all those piercing questions night after night, I learned something else. I learned how our democracy was supposed to work. Our government of and by and for the people. That we have a system of government where nobody's above the law. Where we have an obligation to hold each other accountable, from the average citizen to the most powerful of leaders. Because these things that we stand for, these ideals that we hold dear, are bigger than any one person, or party, or politician. And somehow nobody communicated that more effectively than Danny Inouye. You got a sense, as Joe mentioned, of just a fundamental integrity. That he was a proud Democrat, but most importantly, he was a proud American. And were it not for those two insights planted in my head at the age of 11, in between Disneyland and a trip to Yellowstone, I might never have considered a career in public service. I might not be standing here today. I think it's fair to say that Danny Inouye was perhaps my earliest political inspiration. And then for me to have the privilege of serving with him. To be elected to the United States Senate and arrive, and one of my first visits is to go to his office, and for him to greet me as a colleague and treat me with the same respect that he treated everybody he met, and to sit me down and give me advice about how the Senate worked, and then regale me with some stories about wartime and his recovery. Stories full of humor, never bitterness, never boastfulness, just matter of fact. Some of them, I must admit, a little off color. I couldn't probably repeat them in the cathedral. There's a side of Danny that, anyway. Danny once told his son that his service to this country had been for the children. For all the sons and daughters who deserved to grow up in a nation that never questioned their patriotism. This is my country, he said. Many of us have fought hard for the right to say that. And obviously, Rick Shinseki described what it meant for Japanese Americans, but my point is that when he referred to our sons and daughters, he wasn't just talking about Japanese Americans. talking about all of us. He was talking about those who serve today who might have been excluded in the past. He's talking about me. That's who Danny was. For him, freedom and dignity were not abstractions. They were values that he had bled for, ideas he had sacrificed for, rights he understood as only someone can who has had them threatened, had them taken away. The valor that earned him our nation's highest military decoration. A story so incredible that when you actually read the accounts, you think this you couldn't make this up. It's like out of an action movie. That valor was so rooted in a deep and abiding love of this country. And he believed, as we say in Hawaii, that we're a single ohana, that we're one family. And he devoted his life to making that family strong. And after experiencing the horror of war himself, Danny also felt a profound connection to those who followed. It wasn't unusual for him to take time out of his busy schedule to sit down with a veteran or a fellow amputee, trading stories, telling jokes. Two heroes generations apart, sharing an unspoken bond that was forged in battle and tempered in peace. In no small measure, because of Danny's service, our military is and will always remain the best in the world. And we recognize our sacred obligation to give our veterans the care they deserve. Of course, Danny didn't always take credit for the difference he made. Ever humble, one of the only landmarks that bear his name is a Marine Corps mess hall in Hawaii. And when someone asked him how he wanted to be remembered, Danny said, "I represented the people of Hawaii and this nation honestly and to the best of my ability. I think I did okay." Danny, you were more than okay. You were extraordinary. It's been mentioned that Danny ended his convention speech in Chicago in 1968 with the word aloha. To some of you who visit us, it may have meant hello, he said, but to others it may have meant goodbye. Those of us who've been privileged to live in Hawaii understand aloha means I love you. And as someone who has been privileged to live in Hawaii, I know that he embodied the very best of that spirit, the very best of aloha. It's fitting it was the last word that Danny spoke on this earth. He may have been saying goodbye to us, maybe he was saying hello to someone waiting on the other side, but it was a final expression, most of all, of his love for the family and friends that he cared so much about, for the men and women he was honored to serve with, for the country that held such a special place in his heart. And so we remember a man who inspired all of us with his courage and moved us with his compassion, that inspired us with his integrity, and who taught so many of us, including a young boy growing up in Hawaii, that America has a place for everyone. May God bless Daniel Noi, and may God grant us more souls like his.